Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
America, welcome to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. I have a profound question to ask you today. Seriously, I'm not joking. It's a profound question. Is life fair? Is life fair? Is the world just? Or I guess more specifically, is the American political system just? Is the American economic system just? Is it fair? Are we playing by fair rules? How you answer that question is likely to determine whether you're a liberal or a conservative, your political views. If you think that America is pretty fair, everyone gets a fair deal, everyone gets the same opportunity, we're all pretty much in the same boat, and how we succeed or not is almost entirely due on our own efforts, well, then you think the system's fair. It doesn't need much tinkering. You're likely to be a conservative. If you think there's serious inequality in America, if you think that the system is tilted towards certain players, maybe people who are rich, or people who are white, or people who have come from old families, or people of a certain ethnicity or religion or sexual orientation, or if you think it's that men get more decent treatment in the workplace than women, if you think that there are fundamental unfairnesses in our system, then you're likely to be a liberal. You know, I come to this conclusion based on my discussion yesterday, which if you didn't hear it, it's well worth playing. You can play all my old shows, by the way, on my website at marklevinetalk.com. I had on the air former state senator John Andrews of Colorado. And, you know, I debate conservatives all the time on this show. John Andrews is not just some talking head. You know, sometimes you talk with a conservative and they come on and they're all blunderbuss and they basically are full of insults and not full of any real substance. Wouldn't say that about John Andrews. First of all, he's a very nice man. We had a very cordial discussion. It's always important, I think, to really get at the bottom of deep philosophical differences if you can talk with someone who at least treats you with respect. And he did. John Andrews, you may recall, invited me to go to Denver, Colorado, where I spoke at the Western Conservative Summit, the second largest gathering of conservatives that occurs every year after CPAC. There were, I don't know, 4,000 or 5,000 people in the room as I debated the issue of guns with a Fox News host, Katie Pavlich. That's also, by the way, on my website, marklevinetalk.com, and also well worth your perusal when you get a chance. But John Andrews is an intelligent man, a very intelligent man. He's obviously a very good organizer. He organized this whole conference. He's a former state senator, and I'm an upcoming state delegate, Virginia delegate, so he's worked in the legislative branch of state government in Colorado, like I'm going to do in Virginia. This is a smart man. This is a man who has experience, who's been around. This is also a man who profoundly disagrees with me, and I with him, on liberal versus conservative values. After all, he leads a conservative movement. But unlike the ideologues who just sort of spout stuff, this is a guy who, you know, had to work in a legislature, had to work with people who disagree with him. Obviously, he knows how to at least talk reasonably. And I think we had a reasonable discussion yesterday. But I drilled down in to him and his background. And first, his background, upper middle class, grew up in a suburb of St. Louis, never met a black person outside of the maid that worked for his family, never really saw poverty. In John Andrews' world growing up, where he's white and male and Christian and straight and upper middle class, life's pretty good. I mean, that may be the part of the world, the part of the United States where Beaver Cleaver happily lives and where Leave It to Beaver truly is the nation's values. And everyone trusts everyone and they play in each other's yards and You know, maybe mom stays home and dad works. And the standard nuclear family that fits all the majority stuff and, frankly, is a small minority of an America today filled of many, many non-white people, filled with people of different religions, America that recognizes people of different sexual orientations, people with disability. And yes, and this matters probably the most, not everyone is upper middle class. People who are struggling to make a living. So John Andrews grows up in this Beaver Cleaver world, and he fully admits that it colors his worldview. And when I asked him how he would define conservative, how he would define the definition of his own philosophy, John was, you know, I didn't lead him on. I didn't give any clues other than what would you call a conservative? I asked a man who very much leads a conservative movement. And John Andrews said his fear of overweening government, fear of government taking too much power. And I said to him, that's interesting, because I think the first thing a liberal thinks of, or at least the first thing I think of, and maybe you too if you're a liberal, the first thing we think of is injustice. We think of people who are struggling. And they may be struggling because of poverty. They may be struggling because of racism. They may be struggling because they're new immigrants or because women aren't getting a fair shake or because of homophobia or religious intolerance, whatever it is. Liberals think of people that are struggling. Maybe it's people with disabilities. Conservatives think of everything's going well and things would be great. And the only people in our way is the government. Now, what's interesting is that John Andrews, being a reflective, intelligent person, even though he's a conservative, had to concede that some people are struggling, that the things liberals care about are real, that, yes, there is still poverty in America. Yes, not everyone lives an upper middle class lifestyle, but his main focus is government power. His secondary focus is struggling families. And I conceded that I care about government power. Many of you know I have long fulminated against both George Bush and Barack Obama spying on all of us. I think it's not only unnecessary, I think it's unconstitutional. I think it's way too much. It's one thing to get a warrant and spy on some terrorists. I'm fine with that. It's quite another thing to look at hundreds of millions of Americans, your and my metadata, meaning every single person we call or talk to every day. I think that's a violation of privacy. I also think it's a violation of the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution, which says you need a warrant to spy on us. So, yeah, I don't want too much government influence. You know, I mean, we could talk about Richard Nixon and Watergate, and we could talk about Abu Ghraib or My Lai Massacre. We could talk about a number of examples of government overreach, none of which I deny either. So just like he is a conservative, is mostly concerned about the government, but won't deny that some people are struggling, I'm mostly concerned about people who are struggling. But won't deny that I don't like government overreach either. The difference is that I think as voters, we have power to control the government, more power to control the government, actually, than we have power over helping struggling Americans' lives. And I think John Andrews would say the opposite. He thinks we have more individual power to help struggling Americans' lives, and he feels more powerless against the government. So you see just the frame. It's just the frame. We haven't really disagreed on the facts. We got into a little disagreement on the power of Head Start early education. But basically, we frame it differently. We come at the same problem from different angles. And that's why I asked you the question, is life fair? Is life fair? Because if you think that life is pretty good, that people do okay, that animals, plants, the environment's doing just fine, that your family's doing just fine, that it's fair. If you believe that the world is like a Monopoly game, which is the example I gave yesterday, and everyone gets the same amount of cash, and everyone gets to roll the dice, and sure, some people roll luckier numbers than others. Some people land on free parking, other people land on go to jail. Some people get a Monopoly with Boardwalk and Park Place. Other people are struggling with Mediterranean and Baltic. Sorry, I just played Monopoly a few weeks ago, so it's on my mind. I hope you're getting the references here. But if you believe that life is fundamentally fair, and it's just a matter of luck and hard work and maybe a little bit of intelligence and you can get ahead, you probably are a conservative. Then you're just concerned about the person handing out the rules. That would be the government. And if the rules are basically fair, then you want as few rules as possible. And let's just play the game. It's all good. To me, that is the essence of how a conservative thinks. Life is fair. The world is just. We're doing fine. The environment's fine. Our kids are fine. And the only thing we have to worry about in the world is, well, this government thing. Whereas if you're a liberal, you look around and you see the homeless person you step over. You see the endemic racism that still exists in our society, not just in Ferguson and Baltimore. You see that women don't get the same pay as men for the same job. You see how both formally and informally, gay kids are mistreated. Lesbian kids are mistreated. They're mistreated in the schoolyard, often beaten up, and often whispered behind the back at the job. And even if gay and lesbians are doing much better, well, transgendered people, boy, they've got it really rough, far worse than gay men and lesbians ever had it. You recognize that an immigrant who comes to this country doesn't even speak the language, works hard day after day after day in the broiling sun doing jobs that no American wants to do, is not a drug dealer, is not a rapist. It's just someone who's working hard like your great-grandparents did to make his or her way in a new country, to live the American dream. And you know that the deck is stacked against them. This is not a Monopoly game where we all get the same $1,500 and all start at go and start to roll the dice. This is a game where some people start with $1,000,000 and others start with nothing but the shirt on their back. And they're expected to compete on the same playing field. This is a world in which you could be not that smart. You could be a Dan Quayle or a George W. Bush, kind of a C or D student. But you come from the right family, you got the right name, you got the right people behind you, you can be president or vice president. But it's a lot harder if you grow from, let's say, a single mother. And yet, you can achieve, too. Barack Obama had a single mother. Bill Clinton had a single mother. Both grew up in relative poverty. They made it. Heck, Mitt Romney's parents were once on welfare. They've done quite well. And you recognize that, well, life is different depending on where you start. And the role of a liberal is to use the government to not to equalize the playing field. We're not socialists. But to make it a little bit more equal. If it's not $1,000,000 to $1, maybe it's $950,000 to $50. In the Monopoly analogy. Just so that Latino immigrant gets a chance to succeed, the same chance that our great-grandparents had. See, when you look at it from a conservative scope, where life is perfectly fair and everyone is treated the same, why would the government intervene at all? Everyone's just fine. We don't need early child education. We don't need health care for poor people. Everyone's doing just fine. Just be upper middle class and white and live in the 1950s and everything will be just fine. In Beaver Cleaver's world, there are no black people, there are no sick people, there are no gay people. And I really think that is the worldview. That is the conservative mindset. And you can't blame them until at least they suffer some pain. And then suddenly they see the world isn't quite as perfect. Life isn't quite as fair as they thought. What are your thoughts? Is life fair? Do you agree with the way I've laid this out? Do you think this is the difference between liberals and conservatives? Give me a call. 888-488-MARK. 888-488-6275. This is Mark Levine. Be right back right after this.
Schooling the GOP, one hand tied behind his back, the Constitution in the other. It's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Got Mike and Charlie on the line. Hang on with me. Let's start with Mike on line 5. Mike from Memphis, by the way, called yesterday at about 2 minutes to go. So sorry if I had to cut you off. You got more time now, Mike. Go ahead.
Okay. You know, yesterday, you know, I got to admit, when I got out the phone, I was very irritated, you know, because, I mean, you asked him a question about where did he get his values from.
Right.
You know, I mean, it seems you can't have a debate with a person when they won't even acknowledge their history.
No, he acknowledged it. He said he grew up upper middle class family in a suburb, all white. He acknowledged it.
Yeah, but he's still perpetuating the same thing that was going on back then. In fact, he enjoyed the government when it was unjust, you know, criminally negligent against African Americans in this nation.
Right. That's the hidden side of Leave It to Beaver. That's the dark underside of Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah, so I really don't have any respect for Republicans, period, because there's no good Republican, you ask me, because that's the kind of world they want to live in. When the government was beneficial to them, where they benefited from all of white privilege concerning the government, you know, and they still want it that way.
Well, that's my point. That's exactly my point, Mike, about do you think life is fair? If you think that life is basically fair and just and everyone's on your side and it's a fair game, then you don't want the government. You don't need the government. You're fine, right? You're fine in the free market because you think the market's really free. And you think that you have as much opportunity to join the market, affect the market, become rich as anybody else. If you think the game fundamentally has fair rules, you don't mind playing the game. And they just want as few rules as possible. That is how they think. The nice thing I liked about John Andrews is he didn't come on with a bunch of, you know, insults and bombastic stuff the way a lot of conservatives do. He came in very
frankly. He don't have to say it.
Right. He came in very frankly and said,
His very nature is an insult. His very thought pattern is an insult to African Americans in this country. You know, maybe not, you know, to the average white person or the average person who haven't lived in this world like we have, you know, what we have to endure. But, you know, the very thought of his, his nature is an insult to me. You know what I mean?
I hear you, Mike, and I'll tell you something else.
I can't even debate a person like that. I don't even want to be around people like that.
Well, I'll tell you, Mike, I think you need to. Because I think that people like John Andrews really just don't see the rest of the world around them. They've got very focused glasses. You know, there are people who, when they step over a homeless person, look down, and there are people who look straight ahead. And part of what we try to do with conservatives is to get them to look down once in a while. This is Mark Levine. We'll be right back right after this.
Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, talking about philosophy here. What makes you a liberal? What makes you a conservative? I dare say that the heart of what makes you one or the other is how you believe the world works. If you believe fundamentally life is fair and it's just a matter of your hard work to succeed and there's no real prejudice and no real institutional systematic reasons why certain people are kept out, you're probably conservative. And if you think life is fundamentally unfair and there are systemic things that need to be changed and there are major problems still and there's major inequalities and you focus on that and the injustice and all, well, you're probably a liberal. And I would dare say if you think the system is so bad, so flawed, that there's no way it could possibly be fixed and the only way to fix it is violent revolution, well, you're actually a leftist. You're not even a liberal. You're a leftist because a liberal believes that we can use the system to make it work. I am a liberal. I am going to be a Virginia delegate. I'm going to work within the system to change it and make it better. If I were a leftist, I'd be for, you know, fundamentally destroying it and burning it all down. If I were a conservative, I'd basically want to keep things the way they are and maybe even take out any government attempt to make the system better. All right, let's go to find out what you think. Let's start with Charlie in New Mexico on line one. Hey, Charlie, how are you?
How you doing, Mark?
I'm all right. What do you think about the way I've laid out whether you're a liberal or a conservative philosophy?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure. First of all, I think that speaking of either or, you're generally talking about people, and there are different types of people, and I mean, you can categorize in many ways. And I mean, you find people who are foolish, you find people who are intelligent and wise, and you find everybody else in between, and then you find the classes, you know, to where you find people who are extremely poor, and then you find people who are extremely wealthy. And in most cases, I believe that that people tend to support being a determine whether they want to be a conservative or whether they're liberal in terms of party ideology. I mean, if someone thinks that they belong to this particular party because the ideology says this is what you should be.
Yeah, but that's kind of, here's my problem, Charlie. If you say that people are liberal because they're liberal, or people are conservative because they're conservative. In other words, people support an ideology because that's the ideology they support. It's kind of a tautological argument. You're kind of saying, well, I grew up conservative, so I'm conservative. I grew up liberal. And there are people that do that, that say, you know, I'm just this way because, well, my whole family was this way. But I would say those are the least reflective people around. They're just an inertia. They're always the same. They're not thoughtful. I think a thoughtful person says, should I be a liberal? Should I be a conservative? Should I be, or a moderate for that matter? Should I be a leftist? Should I believe in what my parents believe? And if so, why? And I was trying to delve down much deeper than just a party affiliation to find out what is the heart, what is the soul that puts someone in one or the other? And I think that a liberal's soul and heart is looking out for struggling people and believing the system needs to be fixed a good deal. And a conservative's heart and soul is saying basically everything's fair, the game is fine, it's not rigged in any way, and just get out of my way. I want to achieve greatness, and I don't need any help. Does that make sense to you?
In a sense, yes. I mean, there is a lot of logic in terms of how you explain it and how you say it. But I mean, I think that there's a lot more that you can look at, or you can expand on that particular topic or idea. I mean, you mentioned, and during the earlier discussion, I was driving out of work, and you're talking about that you played Monopoly, and I go,
yeah.
To me, I think, did you win?
I did win that game, yeah. I'm pretty good at games. I'm a pretty good game player as long as we all start and play by the same rules. Then I love games,
sure.
And I learn the rules, and I play them as best I can, and I win a lot. But that's because we're all starting in the same place.
Okay, but let me ask you, I played Monopoly before, and this is what I come away thinking. I go, hey, this is a game that you can learn how to be greedy, because
sure.
I see attitudes change during the game. I mean, I see a person who's a good friend of mine, a brother, a sister, or somebody, and all of a sudden their behavior, because they have money, their behavior is more of an arrogant type of behavior.
Yeah, well, it's part of the game of life.
Type of behavior. And their intent is to defeat you,
right?
And I see the same thing in society, and this is where there's a big differential there between when you define greed and rich people. You shouldn't categorize them both in the same place, because there are people who are rich that work for their money and did everything they had to get there. And most often than not, these people are your philanthropists, and they help, and they donate, and they come back to the community. Then you find the other type of people who are wealthy, and these are the greedy people, and they have an insatiable desire to amass mass quantities of money and wealth. And if they're not willing to give out to the poor people or help anybody,
so
this is the people I'm trying to crush.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. So there's a huge difference between Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who's in the first category, and Donald Trump, who's in the second category. They were both very rich. Franklin Roosevelt was an extremely rich man. But there's a huge difference between people who are rich, see it as part of the luckiness of being born into wealth, and decide that they have to give back to their community, and people like Donald Trump who say, I'm rich, I want to get richer and richer, and if you don't become rich, you're a loser, to use words that he uses. I think you're absolutely right. So I'm not against rich people. I'm against people who were born on third base and think they hit a triple.
Hey, Mark, I've got to go back to work, but I got a couple of things I wanted to finish off with, if I may.
Real quick.
First of all, I wanted to congratulate you on your victorious election.
Thank you. I appreciate
and
that.
I want to wish you the best of luck.
Thank you, John.
And another thing, if you ever come up against gun issues, I think that a permit that everybody has to kind of renew on an annual basis, so that you turn in your gun and they put a tag, and you have to have this tag on your gun so that they can see that it's permitted on an annual basis. I think that'll curtail a lot of these people that were riffraffs that are going to go out there and say, hey, they own a gun, and you know, I just register it once. It's like a vehicle that you register
exactly
so often.
Right.
Maybe that may be not the overall solution, but that may be a start of something.
I completely agree with you, Charlie. I fully support gun registration, just as I support car registration. And if you're interested in this issue, I'm going to have a good, solid debate on guns with a conservative this Wednesday. So tune in this Wednesday, and you'll hear us debate probably exactly that issue. Maybe call in that time. Thanks for calling, Charlie. I appreciate it.
Okay, two items of advice.
Yeah.
This is more centered towards your listeners than to you. I think that. And they go like this. One is a wise person listens to advice and gains wisdom. A fool is content with their own ignorance, which there's a lot of truth to and understanding to that, you know.
I agree.
And
with
the
you.
Second one is, and this applies to everybody. I think of these policemen who go out and kill people because they think they have authority, and then they end up being in trouble. Little saying might help them and everybody else. I mean, it's applicable to everybody. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. And with that said, Mark, you have a good day, buddy.
Thank you, Charlie. Appreciate your call. And indeed, that is exactly what I'm arguing today, that we all have our own filters. And if our filter is to look at struggling people and look at injustice and try to make the world a more fair place, you're probably a liberal. If your filter is life is great and perfect and wonderful and I have no issues and there is no stacking of the dice and I don't want to help the people who are poor because they probably deserve it anyway because the game was fair and they just lost and they're sore losers and they don't need any help, well, then you're probably a conservative. Let me go to Marianne, who's also from New Mexico, on line two. Hey, Marianne, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Is life fair,
know,
Marianne? Is life fair?
Excuse me?
Is life fair?
That's exactly why I'm calling.
Okay.
I'm an older person, and I could tell you, if you know, quite upfront that life is not fair, okay? Life is not fair. Is it fair that the government, the people in the government, in the House of Representatives, in the Senate, have insurance for their whole life that I'm paying for, whether I'm rich or poor? Is that fair? No, that's not fair. Why don't they pay for their own insurance? They're voting against people getting insurance, and yet they get free insurance. Is that fair? No, that's not fair. Is it fair that companies can pollute our air, pollute our water, pollute the earth, and have people getting cancer and all kinds of diseases because of companies saying that it's their right to make money? Is that fair? No, of course that's not fair. So our government is not fair. Our government is not fair. And I'm a little confused because you say on one hand that you're a conservative and on the other hand,
I'm a liberal.
You're a liberal.
No, I'm a liberal. I'm not.
Okay, you're a liberal. And then you say that you're either a liberal, but if you're like really, you know, say that the government's not working, that you're beyond a leftist and you want the whole government to collapse and everything. No. What about a progressive? What about a person who, like, thinks that, you know, a government could be fair? If people like Dick Cheney and Bush didn't conduct a war, was it fair that they conducted a war without people
wanting... Let me explain where I'm coming from.
Hello?
Yeah, no, I'm here. I just want to explain where I'm coming from. No, can you hear me, Marianne? I just want to explain because I
can hear you again.
All right, because I think we don't disagree. I just want to understand where I'm coming from. So to me, a progressive and a liberal are the same thing. I don't really have one's a newer term or actually an older term, but I don't really make much of a distinction. I'm a progressive. I'm a liberal.
No,
I'm both.
But can I just say that I you know, agree with you, and I think that you set it up so that people can see how unfair it is. I mean, it's not fair that I worked my entire life, and I'm 70 years old, and I've been rich and poor, and that, you know, that if I go for some help, that it's not fair because I'm getting Social Security. You know, is that fair? Of course it's not fair. You know, there are so many things, and I'll tell you that just seeing in the last few decades, what has changed is that the government now, and not only the government, of course, all the corporations and the world, we're not only talking about the United States. Is it fair what's going on in Saudi Arabia and that we're supporting them? No, that's not fair. You know, it's just what's happening now is a very strange phenomenon, and that is that, you know, the government used to pretend that they were honest and that the people who were working for you were honest. But now there's no pretense. There's no and I think the reason for that is that there's no compassion. There's no inner looking within themselves. It's like we have a group of Neanderthals, and I'm not speaking about Bernie Sanders.
Well, hey, hang on, Marianne, because you say a lot of different things, and I want to respond to because you said a lot of things. Let me just go through them. First of all, so what I'm saying, the difference between a liberal and a leftist, or a progressive and a leftist, is to me, the reason I'm a liberal and a progressive and not a leftist, is even though I think that life is fundamentally unfair, and I think that our system is unfair, I do think it can be fixed. I believe in our Constitution.
Well,
And so I don't want, if I really didn't believe that our government had any hope of being fixed peacefully, then I'd take up arms against it. I mean, that's what a leftist does. You say, you know, if I were living in North Korea, I would have no hope or faith that we could ever have a fair government, and I would take up arms against my government because that's
right.
The only way to get change or in such an unfair society. So to me, that's between liberal leftist and liberal and progressive. Between liberal, progressive, and conservative, and I think you're clearly a liberal or a progressive, is you believe that there are fundamentally things that are unfair. You named a whole bunch of them that we need to fix. The one place that I disagree with you, though, is a lot of your unfairness you say is the government. And I'd rather say it's the system or the current place we are, because I believe that government is or should be determined by we the people. I mean, that's right there in the Constitution, that government is what we make of it. I'm about to join, in fact, the state government representing my area in Northern Virginia.
Right.
So
right.
I don't like to talk about the government, capital G, or even the media, capital M, because there's lots of government. There's lots of media. If you want to talk about President Obama, then talk about President Obama. If you want to talk about the United States Congress, talk about that. If you want to talk about your local mayor, talk about him or her. I think that there are systematic problems in our society, systematic problems of racism and sexism, particularly right now. Probably the most vicious attack is on people who are poor. That there's a systematic, if you're poor, you can't hire a lawyer and have a good defense in a criminal case.
But
you can't get health care.
But Mark, the people who are in carrying out that system is our government.
Which people in our government? I mean, because there's all kinds of government here. Do you think President Obama's doing this? Bush and Cheney.
Tour,
well, right, and I oppose Bush and Cheney. Do you think Barack Obama's doing this?
Wait a second. Barack Obama, I think, did a lot of good things. I voted for him twice, but I also think that there's a lot of things that he was like a good snake oil salesman. and he like speaks very well, but he didn't carry it through. That's how I feel. I think that he did do a lot of good, and coming from where we were at with the government, with the crazy insane government with Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld and all of the people who helped them, and the fact that we're silent about it. You can't be silent about something if you can't.
Right, okay, so I got it. So basically Obama is better than Bush, but he's not as good as you'd like him to be. I agree with you. I criticize President Obama.
Wait a second. But can I just... You let the other gentleman who you had on before speak for quite a while, and this is the first time I'm calling you, and it's something that I think is so, you know, it's so important, and you know they always say it's the people's choice. It's the people's choice. If the people don't speak up, and I agree, I've marched, I've done that, and I still will. But however, you saw what happened down in Wall Street, and
sure.
And how the government, how our system dismantled it entirely, and how our media, which is run by corporations, which run our government, let's be honest here, we are living in a fascist state. There's no question about it.
Mary, I'm gonna ask you that. just because I'm running up against a hard commercial break. Stay on the air. I'll give you more time after the break. Folks, if you want to call in, 888-488-MARK. We'll be right back right after this.
Who says nerds can't be fun? It's Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, talking about what makes us a liberal or a conservative or even a leftist. I would argue conservative thinks that we're basically life is fair, that the game is not rigged, and why can't everyone just play it? A liberal says the game is rigged, it's fundamentally unfair, we need to change the game to make it more fair. And the leftist thinks that the game is irredeemable. You might as well knock over the board and throw away all the pieces because there's no hope. I would say if you think that America is a fascist state, then you're probably a leftist. I think America is imperfect, to be sure. I wouldn't call us a fascist state. Marianne, we only got a few minutes left, but go ahead and finish what you had to say.
Okay. Well, I just want to say, you know, I recently heard on PBS and this gentleman speaking, and I forget his name, but he was like the head of, you know, World Banking or something like that. But he was an American.
Mm-hmm.
And it came down to the fact when he actually said this on the air, and I was like stunned. He goes, you know, they were having this whole very intellectual conversation, and then he goes down, well, you know, it's actually, you know, comes down to the survival of the fittest. And he laughed, kind of laughed under his breath. Okay.
Yeah, well, that's a conservative ideology right there. Right there.
Okay, exactly. And that's what's running our world, our government, the world government. That's exactly what's going on. What's going on? I'm not talking about the little details with Greece or whatever. If that's what's happening in our world.
Well,
the corporations think.
Let me say this.
Cancer because I might be eating something
right.
That's polluted from the earth.
We only got about a minute left. Let me say this: those people do exist. No question. Many of them do run corporations. Corporations do have a lot of power. They do a lot of pollution. All of that is true. Let me just end in my last 30 seconds with a little bit more optimism and suggest to you that not everyone is like that. I don't think President Obama is flawed, and I talk about his flaws all the time, but I don't think he's a fundamentally indecent person. I think the people who believe in this survival of the fittest, they exist. Donald Trump exists, but I think, thank God, he is a minority, and I have some hope that there are good people in government that are going to make a difference. And heck, I wouldn't join a government that I thought was fundamentally fascist. I'm going to try and see what difference I can make. I encourage you to do the same. This is Mark Levine. Hope you enjoyed my show today. Got to sign off. Talk to you tomorrow.